Now, the greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
Oh, Crackers Wild! Oh, they're back! Thank God! I've not waited for this, but it showed up in my feed. Welcome to the Greatest Story Never Told podcast, episode number 74. We made it that far. As we still in the midst of a celebration here at our flagship station, our only station, 99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle, celebrating 50 years. And as we continue on the celebration, we are going a little bit more back in time and listening to some of the things that aren't available to you anymore online, but some of the favorite guests that we've had over the 16 years that we've been here. So we've had all kinds of people from all walks of life. We've had athletes come in here. We've talked to actors and actresses.
Obviously, I remember some of them.
Obviously, a number of musicians come through, but every once in a while, there's a number of great comedy clubs that are still in the area. Some have moved on and shut down, but otherwise, when comedians come in, occasionally they would come in and visit the show. Now, I will ask you, Steve, if you remember any of these interviews with these comedians that we talked to.
All right.
First up is Christopher Titus.
Yeah, of course.
He had a show called Titus.
Yeah, we developed a good relationship with him. So I always remember him because we're more on a friend level at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In fact, last time he came in here, I remember we fired up the mics, and the first goddamn words he says to me, right? Miles says something like, hey, man, you're looking good, because I think he's working out or whatever. Yeah. And Titus looks at me, and he goes, man, you look like a wise turtle.
That's
how it started. Yeah.
You look like a cartoon of yourself. Yes, was what he said the last time before that. Yeah. Christopher Titus, great guy. We enjoy having him. Sarah Colonna, who is a comedian. She was on Chelsea Lately back in the day when that show was still a thing. Been doing stand-up for a number of years. You might know her more from the fact that locally she married ex-Seahawk punter John Ryan. Mm-hmm. And they have been married for probably 5 or 6 years at this point in time. John will do some stand-up before Sarah comes out every once in a while. They're very charitable. And they give back to the Seattle area. Wonderful people. Love Sarah.
I remember
Sarah.
Her.
Tom Green.
Yeah, you remember Tom Green. When Tom Green visits you in person, like if we had talked to him on the phone, probably wouldn't remember. When Tom Green is in studio, you remember. Because one thing about Tom Green, and anyone who's met him agrees, he's exactly who you think he is. There's no act. That is who he is.
And the great thing about Tom Green is, if you look at the way that late-night television is done right now, Tom Green was on MTV with a Tom Green show back in the day when Jon Stewart had a show on MTV, mm-hmm. the Jon Stewart show. And as wacky as it was, they would do crazy stuff. I mean, all kinds of crap happened there. It's more reflective of what goes on in late-night television now than it was then. You got to remember, it was Letterman and Leno.
Right, just straight interviews.
Guys, and they were
monologue, interview, musical guest out. Right, and there's nothing wrong with that, but every late-night show is exactly that.
Tom Green, he changed that game a little bit as far as the structure of those shows. Not only that, but Freddy Got Fingered, although it might not be a cinematic masterpiece, still a pretty funny movie that holds up to this day.
If you expect a cinematic masterpiece out of a movie that is titled Freddy Got Fingered, you set your expectations too high. One thing I do remember about Tom Green, he rolls in, and like I say, he's just who he is. And so he's talking to us, and I can't remember what his deal was, but he's like, in fact, I'm going to give out my cell phone number. Right? And most people think he's joking. And after he gives his number, for the rest of the show,
it's blowing
up. He keeps
up.
Going, my phone's blowing up. We're like, you just told everyone your goddamn. People called him the rest of the show.
Comedian Ari Spears.
I remember that.
He was on the program. He does a lot of great impressions. As a matter of fact, when DMX recently passed away, we played a bit of his interview with us because he had a couple interesting stories about DMX to share. Yeah. Gary Gulman. Do you remember Gary Gulman? Taller guy, funny guy.
I don't.
Okay, Gary Gulman.
That's his picture.
It's Gary Gulman.
Okay, I recognize him as a human being. I have zero recollection of speaking to this man.
Regular guy on Conan O'Brien and Leno and other shows. Josh Wolf, who was also on Chelsea Lately.
Do not remember.
With Sarah Colonna, he came in. Also, Matt Bronger was in. These are just a few. The late Brody Stevens came
you
on
You could
the
be air. Saying anybody right now. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I do not remember these
I know
last
that.
Couple.
That's why I write it.
Jesus.
Brody Stevens was a Seattleite. He used to do a cable access show here in Seattle, and then he moved down to Los Angeles, and he was a regular on the club scene in L.A. for a number of years. Brody, he battled his own demons as far as just where his head would be. He did not drink. He did not smoke. Mm-hmm. He did not do drugs. Brody just had a very difficult time getting through day-to-day. So he's no longer with us, but one of our favorite comedians, at least in my mind. And the great thing about this is you think to yourself, okay, like, Steve, and you kind of show up better than anyone else. We don't remember this stuff. It has been too long.
That's a very kind way for you to say you're forgetful. Steve, you know, you got to show people that. No, I don't remember.
Well, we don't remember it either. So, and that's it. Like, you do an interview and then you're done with it. And this interview was only aired once. So, like, we've been on for 16 years. If you didn't happen to catch Gilbert Gottfried that day in the 20-minute window that he was on, you never heard Gilbert Gottfried on the show. We don't remember having Gilbert Gottfried on the show other than a picture and the fact that we knew he walked in the studio.
I remember the unexpected interaction that Gilbert Gottfried had with a listener of our show. And it's just, so Gilbert Gottfried gets here before the interview. And he's in, quote unquote, the green room, as it were. But there's a guy named Marty that listens to the show. And Marty lives in his own world. Harmless guy, but loud, crazy, kind of fun. And so I don't know why Marty was visiting. I mean, you never knew why. He would just show up and, like, give you a Sharpie or something, right? But Marty is on his way out. We're now getting Gilbert Gottfried to come to the studio. And Marty stops in his tracks and he's like, that's Gilbert Gottfried. We're like, yeah. So he goes, Gilbert. And think of all the things Gilbert Gottfried has done. Marty looks at Gilbert Gottfried, and he meant this from the bottom of his heart. I loved you as whoever the goddamn parrot was in Aladdin.
Yes.
Like, he
Gilbert was.
So yeah. He does
but
the
But he knew
voice.
The name of the parrot.
Right. So he goes, man, I loved
Iago.
You in Aladdin. What is it?
Iago.
As Iago, right? So Gilbert Gottfried, because that's probably just not the comedy he hears most, just the way he looked at Marty, he just goes, okay.
Thanks.
And walked away.
Thanks a lot. Now, keep in mind, when Gilbert is on, we're giving them props on a show, whatever it is in town, whatever he was doing at the time, probably Bellevue Comedy Club. I don't know. Either way, we're going to go back in time, and this is back to 2015. One of our favorite comedians
Jesus,
ever.
Jesus, man. It's been 6 years. Sure, I feel like I should remember 6 years. I thought you were going to say, 2009.
No.
God damn.
We're just going to go back in time
here. I need Prevacid.
On episode 74 with Gilbert Gottfried. As we go back in time.
Time.
On the Greatest Story Never Told podcast. Time. Not very long ago.
Time.
Talked about this yesterday, what people have used in place of toilet paper at the time of need. Uh-huh. And we agree, because the guy used an empty bag of chips. And we said, look, man, when it comes to bags of chips, I know that, like, baked Lay's have a slightly softer packaging than regular Lay's. And there was a woman on the elevator today, and I was so tempted to say, she's standing across from me eating barbecue baked Lay's. And I'm looking at the bag, and I realize I'm staring at her smiling, and she looks at me real nervous, and I'm like, do I tell her and say, look, on the off chance that you gamble and lose, just so you know, I'm not saying anything, we were talking about this yesterday, you could wipe your ass on that bag of chips. It'd be better.
Paper.
Right, that's all I'm saying. A little bit softer.
And one more email. It says, guys, last night, for the first time in my life, I tried Spam. I don't know what possessed me to try it, but I figured, hey, you got to try Spam, right? Popped it open. Ooh, golly. Grabbed a spoon and went in straight in.
Jesus, man.
Most disgusting, revolting thing I can think of ever tried in my life. And I've eaten some nasty stuff. I know you can doctor it up in certain ways to make its god-awfulness, but for me personally,
you can doctor up anything to make it taste better.
One spoonful, I don't think there's any recipe on God's green earth that can make it taste. I don't even think it's fit for my dog, he says.
Had someone not told you that Spam is gross?
I think you need to slice it and fry it, if I'm not mistaken. Don't you? I mean, Spam is one of those products.
I think what you
Gilbert,
do, man.
You're looking at me like I'm crazy. Like,
yeah.
I think you open the can, you let it slide out, and then you throw it in the trash.
Yeah, well, you eat the Spam first, and then you wipe your ass with some potato chips.
With the rest of the Spam.
You've been to Hawaii. You know the culture.
Yeah. Now, see, here's what I don't understand. Aren't, like, potato chip bags, like, a little too smooth? Don't they need some kind of resistance?
That's why the baked Lay's, man, because the packaging is a little closer to paper than foil.
Oh.
And we'd had a guy, and we talked about this. There was a Ryanair flight in Europe, and they announced, basically, after they locked the door, oh, hey, on this 3-hour flight, there's no toilet paper. So if you go to the bathroom, you got to improvise, and everyone has had to improvise, and a guy used a potato chip bag.
Hmm.
And we just said baked Lay's.
So if I'm out of toilet paper, I can use a Lay's?
Gilbert, this is what we learned.
Yeah.
And this actually shocked me. We had a landscaper call, all right? And a landscaper, it's a science for him, because he pointed out that in his industry, there's never a convenient place to drop a deuce, but you still got to do it.
Yeah.
So what they do is they start with the sleeves on their shirt, not the whole shirt, the sleeves. And he pointed out the shirt he was wearing yesterday was sleeveless from a past encounter. You can use the pockets on your shirt.
Pocket on your shirt.
But there's, you can take the collar off of your shirt and use that. So you're not losing your entire shirt. And then you can use pants pockets. And cut the elastic off your sock. This guy had a science.
But you can dig a hole in someone's yard and poop there.
So he's pooping in your yard, but he's wiping with his own clothes.
So Lay's potato chip.
Back to Lay's.
Because I still think. Because
you eat nuts.
Does it have. It has enough, like
give?
Grab.
Right.
Because I don't want just something sliding there. That wouldn't do any good.
But if you're using a bag of Lay's potato chips, I think it's safe to argue that there are no other alternatives.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not just saying buy a bag of Lay's and go to the bathroom.
But are there leaves around? Leaves?
No. If there's leaves, you're going leaves. Yeah. What? I use leaves first.
You would have never agreed to come on this program again if you'd remembered us.
Yeah.
That's the way we're going.
So, in other words, there's no trees.
There are
where
no trees.
You're taking a dump.
Right. This is an unfortunate
you're in the desert.
Situation.
You're in the middle of the Sahara Desert.
And you got
a bag of Lay's potato chips.
Right? And you thought he brought them to eat.
There's a sidewinder rattlesnake going by you.
Yeah.
As squat.
And you don't have water or a compass or even sunglasses, but you're there in the middle of the desert with a bag of potato chips.
Just to wipe your butt.
Which I think would be the last thing I'd want to eat. middle of the desert, there's potato chips.
Greasy fingers.
It's so dry.
And what skunkweed is that? That's a leaf or a cabbage?
It's a cabbage. It's a cabbage.
Cabbage leaf. Yeah, but that makes sense, man. As far as produce goes, I would think a cabbage or lettuce leaf, probably your best bet. More coverage, right?
Yeah.
Would you believe that's actually a vegetable? I would think it's just weed. I got skunk cabbage.
Well, Gilbert, I'm sure you have a situation where there's no toilet paper. I mean, you've been to a gig before and you had to use the bathroom real quick, and they don't supply the bathroom or whatever. I'm sure that's happened before.
Yeah, that's happened.
You're wandering in the desert a lot with potato chips.
I remember being at a club once, and we were down in the basement waiting around. I was waiting to go on. And I asked the owner, I said, is there a bathroom here? And the guy said, well, are you making a one or a two?
It's like you're on the Greyhound.
Yeah, and I said, one, and he goes, well, because it's a big basement.
Oh.
So it was like you could just pee in the basement. That was a...
Did you ask him what you would do if it were a two?
Yeah, I'd have to run out and get some potato chips.
Gilbert Gottfried at Parlor Live in Seattle tonight, 7:30. Friday and Saturday shows, two of them at 7:30 and 10 o'clock. Welcome back. How's the Amazing Colossal podcast going for you?
It's Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast. It's on gilbertgottfried.com. And subscribe to it on iTunes or Sideshow Network.
People love
TV.
It, man.
Yeah, I mean... It's weird because I concentrate mainly on old show business.
You do. You had Larry Storch on the other day.
Yeah. I had two members. That's only one member of F Troop.
Yeah, Corporal Agarn
and Ken Berry.
Oh, he was the star.
Yeah.
He was the one everybody liked. Could you imagine, and I'm being dead serious, Gilbert, when you think about the world where it is today, we were reading something the other day about Adam Sandler's doing a movie for Netflix, and there's Native Americans portrayed in a negative light, or I don't know exactly. Yeah. People have walked
off. Let's put it in a positive light that we've been so well known for. That's news.
No tears, no trash.
That was an Italian dude.
Exactly.
Because you littered back in the 70s TV commercial. That was an Italian dude.
Oh, that's right.
You remember that guy? Your trash in the goddamn woods.
With the one tear. Yeah.
Don't mess up the pine barrens.
Yes.
Jersey's a beautiful
state. With the bodies in it. But isn't that weird that, I mean, think about F Troop and how just blatantly, it was a great show. It was very funny. But, I mean, that would never fly today.
See, what drives me nuts with F Troop is I know if I had been acting back then, I could have played an Indian.
You would have been an Indian.
Yeah.
You would have been an Indian. Like, you would have been...
A memorable one.
Even when you put up pictures of, the Batman stuff, you really would have been a great penguin.
Yes.
Or, it really would fit you. It makes sense. Instead of being on goddamn Celebrity Apprentice, where you have Donald Trump going I don't have a sense of humor, and you're out, or whatever, you're fine. I mean, goddamn, Gilbert, why do you set yourself up for that stuff?
Yeah.
You know he's got no sense of humor.
And I had on the podcast, I had Adam West, and Adam West said to me, he goes, you would have made a great penguin.
You would have made a great penguin. And why, when they do these new movies, they have the tough guy Christian Bale and all that stuff, but why don't they go back to the campier... kind of 60s more kind of more comic book like.
And I had two Catwomen on the same episode. Lee Merriweather and Julie Newmar.
And they were both beautiful women.
Yes.
Beautiful redheaded women back in the day, you know. And the great
Eartha
thing about
Kitt was one, but she's passed, right?
Yeah.
Kitt is
gone. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, they had, what, three different Catwomen?
But Gilbert,
yes, and, well, yes, yes.
It's almost like you're archiving television. You're interviewing people right before they die, so we get the last word in on all the great experiences.
Right before they get
had.
Their lifetime achievement award.
Yes.
Which means you're about to die
great stuff,
soon.
Man. It's
I
great.
Was originally going to call the show the Before It's Too Late show. But I thought it would be hard to get guests with that title because you're basically saying, you know, could you come on my show? Because I think you'll be dead in a couple of days.
Larry Storch, he's got to be in his 90s, right? He's got to be 89.
Oh my God.
He's
old,
isn't he?
Larry Storch is. I think he's in his 90s.
And he was lucid on your podcast, everything? He knows all the stories and all the stuff from back in the day?
We had on Joe Franklin, and then, like, about a month later, he died. So.
Yeah, but Larry, which lends credence to your original name, I
Oh, yeah.
but Larry, you know, and you remember the time where either it was Glenn Campbell or, hell, Richard Pryor. But everybody had a variety show, Sonny and Cher, and the laughs of the world, hee-haws.
Roy Clark and Buck Owens had a goddamn variety show.
But Larry would show up on all those shows. Like, Larry was, in a weird way, like, he was like this weird, like, dinosaur or somebody. Like, I don't know why I know you, yeah. but I kind of know you, you know, but he was one of those guys.
Yeah, and Ellen, the Starline Vocal Band.
Right.
Afternoon Delay.
Yes.
We're talking about a nooner and having sex.
Yeah.
And it's 5-minute window, but we're so sweet when we sing it. Nobody minds. Yeah.
That's right. And we brought up Celebrity Apprentice. How was that experience? I know that was it as bad as the wife swap thing? Or was it, I mean, was it as contrived and you really want to win, I know. You do.
Well, with me, I came in not caring. But everybody else, they get into it like, ooh, I gotta win.
Sure.
You know, like, you know, yeah.
What do you win?
Yeah.
Like, if you win,
exactly.
what do you win?
Because I would say to them, like, do you really think you're going to take over Trump Enterprises?
Right. Is it weird, like, hearing his daughter talk? Do you go, like, what the heck's going on here?
My father
You have two kids. Could you imagine if they sounded like you? Be like, don't listen to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how does she sound exactly like her dad?
Oh, it's very scary.
It's weird, isn't it?
You know, nice-looking girl, but it's like, you know, if you, I think you'd be imagining if you were having sex with her, you'd imagine you're there with Donald. Yeah,
then it got angry.
Sheila, that's the best sex I ever had. Like, goddamn right.
Oh man, getting you back.
Right. Yeah. Interesting thing. I don't know how long ago this was. It was probably 4 or 5. I don't know, 6 months ago or whatever. I picked up a New York Times, and there you are in like the style section. And let's talk about the fact, and I'm not making this up, that Gilbert and his wife have redone their home.
Oh, yeah.
Redone their pad.
Yeah, I had a lot to do with that.
But here was the thing that stuck in my head, and I knew right away, because you know me, man, especially when we go to hotels, what I always do. I steal the shampoos, and I steal the soaps.
Oh, that's the first thing I do.
I know that, I saw that. Yeah. I'm like, I have a connection with Gilbert Gottfried. We steal, and it's not that you can't have it for free.
We steal.
Yeah.
Because you can. But what I'll do is every once in a while, I'll take out the soaps and the shampoos, and I'll use them because I feel like I'm on vacation when I'm at home. And that's what, but you have like pretzels from like TWA Airlines.
Oh, yeah.
You have like Pan Am matches and stuff. Like, you've got, seriously,
I
old
have pretzels
crap.
From Charles Lindbergh.
It's almost like you would be a hoarder if New York would just give you enough room to have stuff to put stuff
in. Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? Like, if there were actual closets and places where you could stash stuff, you would have everything.
Oh, yeah. When I moved, I was, the wife forced me to throw stuff out, but I had soaps from Pan Am and TWA.
But you really did, I bet.
Yeah.
I mean, honest to God, in almost every hotel that you've been in, like, you have a huge box, and most of these hotels don't even exist anymore.
Right.
It's like,
you know, like a Tom Baudet thing.
But did you ever get busted stealing, like, whatever the product is? And they're like, come on, man. You know, we need that here, whether it's the Holiday Inn tiles. Does Holiday Inn still emboss their name on the tiles? It used to be, it was awesome to steal a Holiday Inn tile because it actually said Holiday Inn.
Oh,
they don't have that. That was the prize, man.
Oh, yes.
Except that you stayed at Holiday Inn.
Steve, I'm not making this up. In the picture where they show Gilbert, and he's got the box of all the crap that he stole from the hotels, he's wearing a pair of hotel slippers.
Yeah.
Don't think I didn't notice that, too.
Yeah,
I thought about gripping the slippers, too, but you actually did.
Yeah, I mean, they can use them afterwards.
Sure, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah,
and, I mean, granted, they have the support of a piece of paper.
But still, they're comfortable.
But you can wipe your ass with them. If you're ever...
in the desert.
Yeah, if you're naked
hotel slippers,
in the desert,
and a bag of Lay's potato chips.
So, but here's I'm looking at this thing, and Gilbert's got a beautiful flat in New York, and then like all the things that a guy would want to have in his house that he can't because the wife says no, you can't have that. Gilbert's got it. Like there's like this 6-foot poster or like movie picture of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
In your goddamn living room.
Yeah.
Now, that is amazing that as a man, that you could pull that off. Where
with
she
the wife.
No, I'm being that serious. And she said, no way. You can't have this. You know what I mean? But you have it. It's like it's a featured piece in your living room.
Yeah. I saved that from when I was a kid. I was like in the back of Famous Monsters of Filmland. They made it sound like you got some actual monster that came to you.
Well, it was a huge poster.
Yes,
like in the old day, they had 6 feet.
Painting
7
of Frankenstein.
But you used to be a fan. You used to write to those guys. And you used to actually, like, you have a framed a picture of what Lon Chaney Jr. We were just talking about Lon Chaney.
We were just
Lon Chaney Jr., don't you? You wrote him a letter or something like that?
I saw it in the magazine. They said he wasn't feeling well. And there was an address you could write to him, and I sent him a get well card.
And he was fine with that. He wrote you back.
And I got back a picture of the Wolfman that he signed.
but you have masks of horror movie characters. You have Lon Chaney Bela Lugosi.
Blaster life masks. I had Lon Chaney Jr., Bela Lugosi, Vincent Price, and Al Pacino.
Wow. and it's hanging in his house. You know what I mean? Like, that was the one thing I noticed.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, big Groucho Marx, beautiful picture and stuff like that. And I thought, man, you have pool with the wife because you actually got the cool stuff put in the main areas of the house, which I can't get done. It's all in storage someplace. You know, all my cool things. Gilbert Gottfried at Parlor Live in Seattle. Tonight, 7:30. 7:30 on Friday and 10. And 7:30 and 10 on Saturday. Can you stick around for a little bit? We'll talk some comedy, whatever else is going on in your life.
All right.
Okay. Do you have dinner plans? Are we cutting out on anything here?
All right.
The legendary Gilbert Gottfried. More with Gilbert right after this.
Welcome back to the men's room. 99.9 KISW.
Legendary Gilbert Gottfried is in town. Funniest guy in stand-up by far. Tonight, 7:30. Friday, Saturday, 7:30 and 10 o'clock. ParlorLive.com. All the details. Gilbert, I think there's a number of comedians that would say that you are, without a doubt, the funniest guy. And I know you probably... I know you don't take that as a compliment. I know you don't believe
who
that.
Who would?
But, you know, when there's guys like Penn Jillette or, you know, Penn and Teller, those guys, without question, say you're the funniest guy they've ever seen. I mean, there's so many comedians out there who...
Well, we don't know if Teller said it, but Penn certainly...
Yeah. Now, and then I read something today that said that they're thinking about doing holograms now.
That's creepy, dude. Because it's not like you're really reliving... I would be more comfortable if you reanimated the corpse of a dead... And go like, all right, well, I mean, at least they're there.
How weird would
the
that
hologram
be for you,
though? Strange.
You work with these guys. Well, what if there was a George Carlin hologram that came out? Or would that just be... I mean...
Yeah, it sounds creepy.
Because it could be you. You know what I mean?
But you know something? As is always the case, every new innovation, immediately porn...
Right.
So I could definitely see porn holograms.
If you serve up porn in any capacity, people go to it. If you put it on Animal Crackers, like,
they're the first ones.
Well, the reason is because if you watch a screen version of pornography, that's great. But if it was a hologram and two people doing it on the floor, you probably just would watch the floor.
Yes.
Yeah. Wherever it is, it's where you watch.
Maybe that's the future of holograms right there.
It probably is, man.
I mean, they're trendsetters in porn.
They really are, man.
Well, that's where people are going to go.
First interactive DVD I ever owned.
Gilbert, did you go
first
to that?
Interactive a lot of first magazine that put me in the storyline.
Blu-ray first everything. Did you go to that Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary thing?
Okay.
Yeah. What was we had Tom Green in, and Tom hosted the show one time. You were actually a cast member on the program.
Yeah.
You came in. What's the best way to describe when Gilbert arrived at Saturday Night Live? It was almost as
awful.
If well, no, but it was a timing thing. It really wasn't.
It was
everybody bowling.
Right after the original cast and producer left,
Okay, so who was involved? Who took off right before you got there?
Well, there was like all the old people. I guess Belushi was there, and
Lorne Michaels. Did he?
Yeah,
he bolted
Lorne
at that
Michaels,
time.
Michaels. Okay. They were Aykroyd. All the leaving. Aykroyd, Gilda Radner.
That had to be weird to come into that building with none of those people there.
Yeah, because back then it was like, if in the middle of Beatlemania you said, we're getting rid of John Paul, George, and Ringo, and here are four other schmucks, right, and you'll listen to them.
And that was you.
Yeah.
And you came in to mop that up. And who else was on that
But did
that
you
season?
Know that was happening? Because, you know, now it's well established that the SNL cast will change over time or different. But did anyone know that then?
Now it changes constantly.
Sure.
You can't keep track of who's on. But back then, that was sacrilege. And they were like, months before we got on the air, it was the biggest news story. Like, how dare they?
So you guys didn't even get a chance.
Yeah, yeah. And when we got on, we did suck. So
who else was on? Who else was cast members that came in with you?
Okay, I'll name two that you'll know, and that's Eddie Murphy and Joe Piscopo.
Sure. Okay.
Now, can you name any of the others?
Guessing maybe Tim Kazurinsky part of that?
No, he came later.
Damn.
Lorraine Newman was not there anymore, I'll guess.
No.
So you started, when you started, Eddie Murphy and Piscopo started the same season.
Yes,
you did.
Yeah.
Was my Anthony Michael Hall?
No, he came. And, you know, this is what's happening here is just, when I was fired from there, I remember thinking, oh, God, everyone's going to be looking at me as the guy from that horrible season of Saturday Night. And now, you know, within no time, it's like how history is all mixed up. How, like, cavemen are fighting dinosaurs, even though they were
like
millions of years apart.
Okay.
And it's like, that's the way Saturday Night Live is. You don't even remember who was on what season.
So Paul Schaefer.
No.
Damn.
No.
That's a good guess, too. Yeah.
What is Joe Piscopo doing now? Like, Eddie Murphy isn't doing a lot, but he is counting his money all the way to the bank.
Yeah, I think
Joe. And that's understood, and he played Donkey is probably the greatest thing he's had to do as far as just making cash. Joe Piscopo, I just don't know. It seemed like he had a moment to really, really shine. You know, people are kind of on the train, and he's just...
I don't know.
Didn't he, like, you lose himself in the weight room for a number of years?
Yes, yes. Yeah, he became, like... The idea of comics, muscle-bound comedians.
Like Carrot Top.
Carrot Top.
But he was never funny. No.
I saw a photo of Carrot Top without his shirt on. And I remember I thought, this is like one of those gag pictures that he glued his head on to a muscle man body.
And then you realize, no.
Yeah, and I thought, and then I saw him on TV and he had his clothes on and his shoulders looked like, you know, football player pads.
That's basically he's a human bodybuilder. I mean, the guy looks like he'd be Mr. Olympia. Did anyone come up to you?
Mr. Olympia will never look like that.
Did Eddie Murphy come up and say, "Hey, Gilbert, how you been doing, man? What's been going on? I'm a donkey now, and you're a parrot."
I heard you played a parrot. I played a donkey.
Did you guys have any of those conversations or anything like that? Was it, "Hey, what have you been up to?"
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of people I spoke to. It was. You know what was weird about that party? It's like, you know, you'd see like Leonardo DiCaprio talking to whoever, like, and Miley Cyrus was there.
But do they identify you? Do they go like, "Oh, Gilbert, I love you," and you're like, "Oh my God, Miley Cyrus just gave me a hug"? Or did you have those weird experiences?
Miley Cyrus, I had done Hannah Montana.
Okay.
So I said hello to her. And she asked if I wanted to do any tequila shots.
Sure.
Nice.
Yeah. That sounds exactly what I'd expect.
And I thought, in theory, it sounds great. Because
sure.
In theory, you're both doing tequila shots, and then you're in a hotel room.
Next thing you know.
Yeah, yeah. But I know with me, like being the lightweight I am, I drink one, and I start throwing up. And then I'd start praying for God to take me, you know.
What do you think of with the new kids? The Justin Bieber, he just had a roast on Comedy Central. You've been doing roasts forever, and that's basically what the Friars Club is known for. What's the difference between the roast that they put on television and the roast with the doors closed in the Friars Club? I mean, how much more brutal is it?
See, what I would like to see or hear a recording of is they used to have roast where, like, Jack Benny and George Burns and people like that would be roast and being really obscene.
With each other. Milton Berle, all
yeah,
those guys.
It wasn't like the Dean Martin roast, like, that was made for TV.
Sure. Well, comedians don't go easy on each other. No, and that's no. the thing, when you put a celebrity up there like Donald Trump and you see him, his brow furring, or Gene Simmons, like, this is not funny. Well, those guys aren't funny. But comedians used to roast comedians. That was the whole point of the Friars Club. So you could get as dirty as you wanted to be without any ramification. And that's where you come in.
And
it really is.
Well, that's where, like, there was that, the Hugh Hefner one. And that's where I was roasting Hugh Hefner. And it was, like, about 3 days after September 11th happened. So I wanted to be the first one to make a September 11th.
But you're from New York. You live in New York. It's your whole life. You know, it's okay. You get the pass.
Yes.
You hope.
And I said, I have to leave early tonight. I have to catch a flight to L.A. I couldn't get a direct flight. We have to make a stop at the Empire State Building. And the audience was booing and hissing and gasping, and chairs were screeching back. And then, after what felt like 200 years, I figure, screw it, I can't go any lower, so I'll do the Aristocrats and lose some more. And they were howling and applauding, so it's like, terrorist attacks, bad taste, incest and bestiality, good taste.
Have you ever had that one joke where you felt bad about it, Gilbert? Has there ever been a time where you looked at someone and went, oh, they don't get it?
Nah.
Attaboy.
Gilbert Gottfried, the partner live in Seattle tonight, 7:30, Friday, 7:30 and 10, Saturday, 7:30 and 10. All the details at parlorlive.com. It's always a pleasure, Gilbert. We really appreciate it.
And my website is gilbertgottfried.com. You could hear my
amazing colossal podcast, which is actually worth listening to. It really is. It's fantastic.
And my Twitter is Real Gilbert.
Exactly. Real Gilbert.
Real Gilbert. Not to be confused with.
You've been listening to The Greatest Story Never Told with Miles and Thrill on radio.com.
Oh, man. A Double Flush production.